Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
803-0550 to join us. We're going to talk fantasy football. And that means if it's Thursday, if it's 9:35-ish, we go to the Wester Hotline and we bring in, speaking of Yahoo Sports, Scott Pianowski, who is joining us right now. Scott, it is Howard and Jeremy. Good Thursday morning to you, sir.
How you doing, yeah? How you doing, guys?
You know what? We're going to give you some advice. How's that for a change? You ready?
Okay, sure.
Don't play any offensive players when they play the Bills this year.
I mean, their defense is ridiculous. They made Brady look ready for retirement, and you know, obviously, they shut down Tennessee last week. And you know, I've said all along, I think they're a playoff team. I think it's better than the team was 2 years ago. And man, did they make a home run head coach hire too? It's funny, for you know, all the hosanna is thrown at Frank Reich, and they're deserved. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Bills nailed their head coach, you know, decision too. And I know you guys. I'm preaching to the choir here because you guys know how good this team is. But I think America's going to find out really soon that this team is for real, and that defense is ferocious.
Yeah, it's fun. It's funny. I didn't necessarily think about that question from the standpoint of what have the fantasy numbers been against them. New England was terrible. Barkley had the one good drive, but then really was kind of quiet after that. The Jets didn't really – I mean, nobody scored more than 17 points, so you really wouldn't be rolling up big fantasy numbers from an individual basis, quarterback, running back, or wide receiver against this defense so far.
Yeah, and, you know, to me the fantasy takeaway to this is that I actually think in most cases, not all cases, in most cases, I think sometimes we overrate matchups, and there's a big middle of defensive matchups that are not that different. You're facing the number 9 defense, the number 13 defense, the number 15 defense, the number 18 defense. I care when a defense is really, really awful or really, really elite. Mm-hmm. That's the only time I really make significant adjustments for a matchup, and Buffalo is in that elite category. So there aren't that many defenses where I'm going to make a major change. But Buffalo is a team, you don't want to play these guys. And I'm going to adjust anybody who plays against these guys. That's, you know, they're in the outlier category, and that's why you have to react to it.
What's the opposite end of the spectrum? Who are like the really, really, really bad defenses, and you'd say you'd play just about anybody you can against them?
Yeah, Miami. The passer rating against Miami is through the moon. It's through the roof. I meant to say through the roof. I said through the moon.
That's all right. The moon makes it even better. I mean, that's even further away.
Is there a stat they're giving up? Yeah. They're giving up points on 78% of their drives against. Something close to that.
Right. You know, it's funny. If you look at Lamar Jackson's stats and you block out that Miami game, he's actually, I mean, he's a great fantasy player because he runs so much, but his passing stats are actually very ordinary. But he was out of his mind against Miami. They're a team that's giving it up. Arizona has been awful. Atlanta is making – here's the great thing about Atlanta, okay? This is a really simple setup. They cannot stop anybody, and they can't run the ball. So Matt Ryan is on pace for 710 pass attempts. And so every game turns into what I call a carnival, where it's just a high-scoring game. Atlanta ends up chasing the game. There's extra plays because there's just so many passes. And it ends up being just a ton more volume in those types of games, and they're really fantasy friendly. So any Atlanta game interests me. Arizona's defense horrendous. Miami really bad. Washington's been awful. So it'll be kind of fun to see what happens with Washington and Miami. You got two terrible defenses. Mm-hmm. Not sure how much the offenses can take advantage. Although, you know, I have a little bit of interest in those Miami receivers. You know, Williams, the rookie, has played really well, and maybe they've finally unlocked Devontae Parker a little bit. And you know, we know Washington has that one great rookie in McLaurin who's interesting, especially with Keenum back in play. But anyway, Arizona, Miami, Atlanta, those are some of the defenses that we're getting well on right now.
It's interesting you mentioned Miami. We were having the discussion this week. There is still a drought when it comes to 300-yard passing games for Bills quarterbacks. They haven't done it since late in the 2016 season. Ironically enough, when Tyrod Taylor did it against Miami, and we're looking at...
In overtime.
Yes, that's right, overtime. It was overtime.
But so we're the drought is even longer if you're going for the regular game.
And we're wondering if, out of the bye, Miami's here, if Josh Allen can end the 300-yard passing drought against the Dolphins.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, the thing with Allen is that because he's so athletic and you think he's going to run for 20 to 40 yards most weeks, that and the defense is so good, you know, he may not be asked to throw 45 or 50 passes in a game like other people might, and that may hurt his chances for something like that. But on the flip side, you know, John Brown has fit in so seamlessly. I always wonder what the amp up time is for a receiver on a new team. You know, sometimes it takes a full season, sometimes it takes half a season. Brown immediately, I mean, he made the signature play in that week one win against the Jets. I mean, he immediately looks like he's been with his team for a while, and that's added an element that this offense really needed. You know, so it's interesting. You know, I would have been skeptical before the season about Brown. I would have said, well, we'll see what happens. You know, Gore, he's 36 years old, for crying out loud. And those guys have played much better, been much more impactful than I ever would have realized.
We're with Scott Pianowski from Yahoo Sports on a Western Hotline. And I wanted to ask you about Cleveland, too.
Yeah, Scott, where do we go to start our class action lawsuit against Freddie Kitchens? Because I needed 7 points from Baker Mayfield in guillotine, and I didn't get it, and I'm out. And I imagine there's a lot of people that had any – Beckham, Landry, anybody. And yeah, that offense is a mess right now.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Tony Romo called this in week one. I don't think Cleveland has really improved on this. The offensive line is playing very poorly, and yet the game planning is still asking to do things that need time to develop, and it doesn't seem to be – make a lot of sense. What are they doing with Beckham? They're having to throw passes. He was returning a punt late in that game when the game was out the window.
Yep.
I think they need Kitchens to not call play. I think Todd Monken, who actually did a pretty good job calling plays for the Buccaneers last year, I'd give the playbook to him. But Kitchens looks over his head. Mayfield is, man, has he regressed. And it's not all his fault, but I mean, he looks awful. You know, Chubb's had a couple of moments. I thought Beckham was overrated all season, all preseason. Not that he's not talented, but it's hard to bank on a full season from him. And, of course, we talked about receivers. You know, even though Brown's been pretty good changing teams, a lot of times when the receiver changes systems, I get nervous. Changes teams, I get nervous. So I thought maybe Beckham might have been a trap. Very interesting to see what they do this week. And, you know, it's funny. I don't know why the NFL does this. The Niners and the Browns played Monday night. The Rams and the Seahawks play Thursday night. For some reason, those two Thursday teams play the two Monday night teams. I think it's an unfair advantage. And I know you can't always get it right. You know, when somebody comes off a bye, you're going to probably play a team that didn't come off a bye and stuff like that. But I don't know why both of the Thursday teams with extra preparation time are getting the Monday teams. And, you know, Sean McVay's record with extra prep time is very, very good. I think the only game he's lost, this is via Warren Sharp on Twitter, who's a great follow, was the Super Bowl loss to Belichick. Other than that, McVay is undefeated in these extra time to prepare games. You know, Andy Reid is famously really good off a bye. It's a coaching stat. But Freddie Kitchens right now, I think they hired the wrong guy. He looks over his head. They're calling the wrong stuff. Mayfield. And here's the thing. When offensive line isn't good, what happens is quarterbacks end up reacting to pressure even when it's not there. And that's what Mayfield's doing. I mean, he looks shell-shocked out there.
One of the, you know, on the topic of quarterbacks, I wanted to ask you this. I don't have the stat in front of me, but I remember a couple of weeks ago the stat about the number of quarterbacks that have already played this season in the NFL. A number of teams with injuries are playing backup quarterbacks. Some are still winning and sustaining just fine with backup quarterbacks. But have you seen any correlation? Is there any impact with the number of starters who've gone down and the number of backups who've come in terms of how it might be impacting fantasy offensive numbers around the league?
Yeah, this has to be the most injury-ravaged quarterback season that we've seen in, I don't know, decades. I mean, we know the league has done everything it can to prioritize safety for the quarterbacks. I don't know. I mean, football at its core is going to be a physical game. It's going to be an injury-riddled game, but they've really tried to take that part of it out because they know they're the signature players. I think the misleading quarterback who's come in, who's winning but isn't really doing it as much as we think he is Kyle Allen, because he's leaving plays on the field. And DJ Moore has been open for some big plays that he's missed, and Samuel hasn't been fantasy relevant that often. Obviously McCaffrey is dominating that offense, and what a magical season. I mean, you don't see running backs often in the MVP discussion, but he's probably going to be as long as he stays healthy. But that passing game, the downfield part of the game, Moore and Samuel, I think they really miss Cam Newton. I'm a big believer in Gardner Minshew. I think he's Jacksonville's quarterback next year. I think he's Jacksonville's quarterback for the next five seasons. Not the tallest guy, not the strongest arm, but he's very accurate. He looks poised out there. He did have some costly fumbles last week. He needs to tidy up his pocket awareness a little bit. but he's quickly developed a rapport with DJ Chark, and he's become their number one receiver. He's somebody that they're prioritizing. I know this week he may get the shadow treatment from Marcus Lattimore, which has been a problem for guys. Last week, Evans didn't do a thing against New Orleans, and the previous week he shut down a really good receiver, too. I can't think of who was off the top of my head, but, I mean, you know, Lattimore has been excellent, so I'm a little bit nervous to Chark this week. But I think Minshew is the real deal. It's hard to trust what Daniel Jones can do tonight because the whole team picture for the Giants isn't playing.
Oh, they got nobody. He's got nobody to give the ball to.
Yeah. Yeah, nobody to give the ball to. And also, it sounds like the weather might be bad. And with weather, it's always wind. Rain and snow are generally not that big of a deal. But when the wind is bad, right now the wind is supposed to be heavy in the forecast. It's just hard to see the Giants doing a lot. But I do think Jones was the right pick. And I'm optimistic about him. I was encouraged that Teddy Bridgewater threw the ball downfield
last
week.
Game.
He was just check downs left and right. But last week he actually aired it out a little bit, got some air yards on the stat sheet. And the problem is there just isn't that much in New Orleans as far as it's going to be Kamara, it's going to be Thomas. They got Cook going last week. But this offense will not support a lot of different guys. That's been a takeaway for me this season is that you usually think most offenses should be able to support two receivers. Minnesota's not doing it. Tampa Bay, most weeks, it's either Godwin or Evans. They're not producing together. Obviously, the Saints have just Thomas. For the undefeated team, the Patriots, you know, Gordon's just been okay. He hasn't been inside the wide receiver 25 in any game this season. It's just odd. You know, the Chargers don't have a second wide receiver who's doing it because you know, Eckler's getting all those catches. It's just strange that a lot of times you just think, oh, yeah, you know, they'll have two receivers. That's not really a big deal. And this has been a year where some teams aren't supporting that many. Maybe it's because the backs are catching more passes. Maybe it's because the quarterback play has been a little bit uneven. But it's been harder to navigate wide receiver, probably because of this quarterback unrest, than any season I can remember.
Just so you know, someone tweeted in and said the distance to the moon is 238,900 miles. So that does confirm your through the moon reference is better than through the roof.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I hope the honeymooners are listening as they're doing a reboot. But
to the moon, Alice. That's right.
Yeah. Exactly. But here's the thing I like to say. Okay, as everybody always says, it's the weirdest season, and I say, well, every NFL week and NFL season is weird in its own way, is uniquely weird because it's just football is so random and strange with all the bounces of the ball and all the injuries that you know you're gonna say everything is weird. It's just that's how it is, but. This does feel like a weird season because once you uproot the quarterback, anytime the quarterback gets hurt in the city, it changes your outlook of everybody else on the offense.
Sure. No question. All right. Well, listen, good luck to your fantasy teams. As always, Scott, thanks for giving us some time, and we look forward to talking to you again next Thursday.
Sounds good, guys. Thanks for having me.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.